Hey y'all, I'm Jeremiah and this is Christian Anarchy, where we are ending the state one MP3 at a time.
We begin with concluding remarks, break up the pieces and examine the parts. Your words always cut when they're cliche, but here's my knife because I came for the buffet. This is the way it goes when you are part of it.
Welcome to the show, I hope you are doing well. If you would like to contact me, or look at some more stuff related to this show, you can email me at jeremiahjm, or you can go to the website at www.christianarchy.net, where you will find other ways to contact me in case you don't have an email address. I do hope you do, because if you're listening to a podcast but don't yet have an email, then you are way out of order when it comes to adopting new technologies. Today I have some news. This will be the last regular episode of the podcast. I hope you have Kleenex nearby. Just get it all out now, or it will have a negative effect on you in the future. May the God of all comfort comfort you in your affliction. Sorry to toss this news on you so suddenly. So I feel like I've done nearly everything I originally wanted to do with this show. Enough that I'm pretty proud of what is out there at this point. I understand if people listening still don't reject the state, but hopefully, at least by now, if they've been through every episode, they realize government is evil, and not evil in a way where we need a good government to replace the bad government, but evil because its very structure is screwed up. It is nice when people call government a necessary evil. At least they won't be trying to start a new one when we get rid of this one and have a free market provision of services, because they will have realized they were wrong about the necessary part. And it is kind of funny to be like, well, have fun supporting evil then. When you're ready to oppose it, those of us opposing it already will welcome you aboard. The main purpose of starting this podcast was to present biblical arguments for the abolition of the state. And that I have done. I kind of want to summarize them all just by way of reminder, but that would be way too long. And if you can't remember, or if you're wondering what they are, just go back and listen to the rest of the podcast. And there are still a few different arguments I haven't made or haven't made as well as I would have liked to, in case you're curious, and because I feel like telling you, some of those things are that I thought it would be interesting to talk about how the church has been co-opted by the state historically, and used by the state to justify itself and its actions, thus misrepresenting the church and polluting it with bad theology. And in conjunction with that, the church also seeks power through the state, forming a symbiotic relationship where both groups use each other in order to gain and maintain power, which just ends up polluting the church. And as far as other biblical stuff goes that I didn't engage in, but I've thought of, I think there are a lot of criticisms of government which could be milked in the prophets. And what I see throughout scripture is a pretty constant criticism of rulers who do mostly bad things throughout the Bible. Those who do good things are shining examples and barely heard of because they're so rare. And I don't think I ever really pointed out, at least not very well, how the overwhelming majority of scripture criticizes these relationships of rule over others. I think it's also pretty telling with many stories in the books of Chronicles and Kings that the position of king itself is corrupting. And when the people have a king, instead of taking responsibility for their own relationship with God, they just follow whatever the king does. Having a king over the people of God destroyed the people's individual relationships with God, except for a small remnant. The group as a whole just did what the king did, and their lives and values reflected his life and value, as he was their more direct boss. And typically, what he did was acted contrary to God's will, and so the people followed in suit. So this relationship of rule, especially when the ruler is seen as a servant of God to be modeled, also ends up having a negative effect on relationships with God and on the community following God as individuals. Also, I think I could have done a multiple episode series on God's redemptive plan for his creation, and the ultimate restoration of God as king, pointing out along the way repeatedly the ideal for humanity, which is a restored creation with humanity back in its proper place, with dominion over the things they were always meant to have dominion over, the rest of creation and not each other. And pointing out how if God is the rightful king over all humanity, then it makes little sense to place any human in such a position. And if any human is in any such position, they have no right to be. That's God's spot. And then after that, focusing on how we are to be bringing this reality, which will come in full in the future, into our present, at least partially, by rejecting the notion that relationships where one man rules over another belong in the kingdom of God on earth. I just haven't had the motivation to keep going in these directions. It's not you, it's me. I've also made a lot of ethically based arguments, many of which are grounded in biblical principles. And although I didn't use the Bible for all of them, I think most of them are readily apparent to someone familiar with the scriptures. It's basically don't hurt people who aren't hurting you, don't take people's stuff who haven't taken anything from you, and don't threaten people with violence to force them to do what you want them to. That is all that being an anarchist means. They're just a group of people who think threatening to kill someone in order to get them to do what you want them to with their body and their property is immoral. It is absolutely the most basic of human ethics. If people can't agree to that, something is wrong with them. Not that I necessarily hold that against them. Usually what is wrong with them is a lifetime of propaganda and a heart of fear. And it takes a long while to break through those barriers. Despite anarchy being so ethically obvious to anyone who is a decently moral person who understands how government functions. Now, one thing I can't remember if I've mentioned or not, but I should say, is that I don't think being an anarchist makes someone inherently morally superior to others. Rejecting government is just one part of being a good human being. There are many other parts as well. You can actually be ethical enough in some areas to reject government, and in other areas still be a pretty horrible person. I am that sometimes. I think sometimes saying government is inherently evil and saying that advocating for it is inherently evil can come across as arrogant to some. But even though I reject the state and it is true that the state is inherently evil, I do try to keep in mind, and I encourage you to do the same, that a trustworthy saying worthy of full acceptance is that Christ died to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I've also done some refutation of biblical arguments against anarchy, and I think I've done at least an adequate job dealing with the ones I've received. I suspect a conversation with someone who disagreed with my interpretations might have been more helpful in many ways to talk through some stuff, but you'll be fine without it. One of my contentions related to this is that if there is a reasonable interpretation of scriptures people might find oppositional to anarchy, reasonable interpretations which treat the text with respect, that do not require we be supporters of government, then we should tend toward those interpretations. As the obviousness of the evils of slavery causes us to look at verses in the Bible which talk about how slavery is good for the slave differently, the obviousness of the evils of government should also cause us to look at verses which talk about the goodness of government differently. This doesn't mean God's scripture isn't true, but the God who meets people where they are at and brings them to someplace better is the same God who continues to do so today. His ideal is not relationships violating the golden rule, the second greatest commandment, or things like don't steal and don't murder, and all government exists through the violation of those things. I've also touched on some of the practical stuff, which I think is important, but it's not all that interesting to me. I don't want people to become anarchists because they're pragmatists. Pragmatism can lead to some really dark places, and I ultimately want people to reject the state because they love Jesus and one another. And if not because they love Jesus, then at least because they are rational and ethical people who respect the rights of others. Pragmatism is really a last resort. I'm not that interested in living in a world where people primarily reject the state because they think it is the most practical way to improve their lives, even though I think it is for the majority of the population. I want to live in a world where people reject the state because of compassion. And more than this, the practical stuff is something dealt with in hundreds of thousands of pages of writings about ethics, history, economics, business, and politics. The questions have been addressed in book after book and article after article. Anyone ethically convinced but hung up on the pragmatic questions can find the answers they are looking for elsewhere. One other nice side effect of doing this podcast every week is that I've become a more engaging teacher at my church as well. At least, that's what I've been told, and I suspect that's largely true. As I said many months ago when I first started this, I've never been much of a monologuer, speech giver, or a long-form speaker, but I seem to have improved and become fairly competent. Anyway, I do feel that I've done what I've set out to do, and while, like anything one creates, I would probably do every single episode differently, overall, I'm pretty happy with what I've done here and the theology, ethics, and even the arguments for free market alternatives. I think there are some pretty solid ideas throughout this podcast and many that are unique, at least as far as I know, in the world, which is kind of cool. Now, while I am not going to be doing a regular week-to-week episode anymore, I'm begging you all. I am pleading with you. I'm on my knees. Well, I'm sitting in a chair. That's kind of squeaky. But you know how desperate I get. Please remain subscribed to the podcast. This isn't just some attempt to boost my ego or lead y'all on. I actually have some good reasons. I'm guessing there will be times where I find myself getting antsy and will want to record an episode periodically. I've gotten so accustomed to talking at people, I may miss it after a while and want to do it intermittently. And if I do other things that I think this audience will find interesting, I will use this podcast to let you guys know. So if you're already subscribed, all I'm asking you to do is nothing. Just don't delete your subscription. If I do end up doing some irregular podcast, I'd like to at least pretend there are old fans still listening. You can also follow me on Twitter where my username is @JeremiahJM or check in with me on Google Plus, where the best way to find me is through my email address, jeremiahjm@gmail.com. And these are places where you can find out if I'm doing something different that you might be interested in. In case you're wondering what I will be doing now, I will basically be taking some time off of any substantial mental creativity. My brain needs a bit of a break. While some of this stuff is just in my head and has been, some of the stuff I've shared on the podcast, most of it isn't. If you recall, I'm fairly new at this whole rejecting the state game, and most of my arguments and the content for the podcast are developed and thought of on a week-to-week basis as I think about what to talk about. In conjunction with teaching at church once a month on Sundays and writing small group questions every week, as well as other creative brain things, I want to take a little bit of a creative thought break. Not completely, but maybe even enough to read some books by other people. You know what? I've still never read a book by an anarchist. I've probably read books worth of articles, but I've skipped the longer form thought part. I should get on that. And not doing the podcast will also free up a little bit of time to get some more stuff done. In the future, I would like to finish off a Bible study that I put on hold for a long while. Because procrastinating is easy when there are no deadlines. And in terms of a semi-detailed broad overview of the story of the scripture, it is one of the best Bible studies I've seen, but I do try to readily admit my own bias, which heavily leans toward placing high value on the things that I do. I also have a couple of book ideas related to anarchy. Again, not things I know if I'll follow through with or not. Life is busy and things happen. In case you're curious, the two book ideas are Making a Thorough Biblical Case for Anarchy, using many of the same arguments I've used here, just written better organized and without distracting readers with things about roads and stuff like that, and just focusing in on the scriptures. I was also thinking about writing a book covering 3 to 4 different explanations of Romans 13, which don't require we see the text as God saying government is something good or something he wants for humanity. Not that we have to read it that way anyway, but we could use some more ammunition and more thorough and extensive dealings with the text to equip people to refute the ridiculous notion that God has placed his stamp of approval on initiating force on non-aggressors. Eventually, I would like to write articles somewhere regularly, but I haven't written any articles to shop around yet. There are a lot of anarchists and even quite a few Christian anarchists making websites, blogs, and an increasing number of podcasts. I would like to centralize stuff a little bit because I think it helps maximize influence. I think a few regularly updated websites with hundreds of articles can make more of an impact ultimately than widespread individual production of websites and articles. I like the idea of gathering the best stuff in a few places instead of having a bunch of mediocre stuff scattered around the world, although it might help make stuff more personal. I think one of the reasons there are so many blogs and websites and articles out there by anarchists relative to the percentage of the population is that most of us who reject the state recognize moving forward requires other people reject the state as well. And so we work to convince people to reject the state. And you know, most of us came to the conclusion that the state was evil through reading stuff on the internet. So that's the place where we work because that's how we came to similar conclusions. We even got taxation as theft trending on Twitter the other day on April 18th. Now that's something, eh? We'll get more creative than just using the internet at some point in the future, I promise. I have some cool news. My wife is pregnant. She got a baby growing in her belly. If you're wondering how that happened, ask your parents. We talked about having a child in December of 2014, and I kind of forgot about this conversation until she was pregnant, or at least I didn't think about it often. We had a conversation about what we wanted to do before we had a baby and what would it take for us to both feel ready to have a kid. I said I wanted to write a book, and I started working on it, and then instead, I started doing this podcast, which is great. It's actually a lot easier than writing a book. And a lot harder than writing a book, I think. I've learned a lot from it. It feels really good to have done this before my kid arrives, just so I can tell them that I've been trying to speak out against the violent organization which will rule over them. It's a dangerous time to bring kids into the world, but it's never not been a dangerous time to bring children into the world. The truth about the world now is there is less interpersonal violence than ever, really. It's a lot better currently than it has been in millennia in many ways. But there's still this one glaring exception, this brutally violent organization called government, which people use to force their will upon others and feel justified doing so, even feel righteous doing so sometimes. Despite a decrease in interpersonal violence, many people actively engage in proxy violence through the state. And whether you're a full-blown socialist or a minarchist advocating socialism for just a few things, you're a promoter of proxy violence to get the government to do what you want. It's not morally different to support government initiating force on others to provide law and courts than it is to support governments initiating force to provide healthcare or food. Both are just cases of aggressively violent people supporting violent aggression to get what they want. And thinking about this in light of my wife's pregnancy, the truth is that anyone who supports the state is a danger to my child. Anyone who supports the state supports people threatening to kill my child if my child doesn't obey their will. People so infrequently frame it that way, but that's what the government is. That's who they are. That's what they do. That is what the whole organization is founded on. Its very existence is violently coercive. The craziest part to me about doing this podcast and having conversations about the nature of the state is that no one disagrees with the central ethical contention. Everyone agrees the government exists through threatening to murder peaceful people if the peaceful people don't conform to their will, even if that peaceful person is a child. They agree this sick form of violent control is the foundation of the state. And then, instead of rejecting it, they start trying to justify it. They're so emotionally and mentally screwed up by a lifetime of propaganda. Like a child who grew up with an alcoholic parent and has learned how to be an enabler and then justifies the abusive actions of their parent to feel safe, their poor little hearts cannot bear the thought of their parents being evil and unsafe. It is the same with supporters of the state. They cannot bear the thought that the state may be evil and unsafe. It's terrifying to them, and they don't know how to respond emotionally to such a thought. So they push it out of their head and come up with crazy justifications of their violent aggression. As a father who is in the process of bringing a child into this world, I at least feel like I've done my part, or I've gotten a really good start on my part to make the world a better place for them to come into. The state is just the worst. They are simply terrible. They convince people to kill and die on their behalf, and they screw up the natural incentives which lead to human flourishing and human cooperation. They pit people against one another. Oh gosh, huh? I have 44 episodes talking about the evils of the state, and now as I'm saying goodbye, I apparently still feel like I need to tell you why. You know why they suck. One thing I want to leave you with is this. I believe God is moving the world in a direction and will continue to move the world in a direction. I believe God is moving the world toward rejecting relationships of rule. Thanks to various forms of technology, the truth is able to be more widespread now than ever. The internet and the ease of transportation helps this process a lot. There is such a wonderful flow of ideas. And new technology not only enables communication, but I think new technology helps people's minds remain open and imaginative to new ideas, even ideas like government is unnecessary. There are so many entrepreneurs now, individuals, people who are doing things and running into government impediments. One of the quickest ways for many people to start hating government is simply for them to try to do something and then face opposition from the state, like build a house or start a business. After you get through the permitting process, which is getting permission to do something which you need no permission to do, and then make sure to follow through on the onerous regulations of the state, you get to have fun figuring out how the tax code applies to your particular business venture, and then have fun paying them money so they have the resources to continue to make laws you have to follow, and also so they have the resources to continue to take your money. I think there are many more people running into the bureaucracy of the state and find it inhibiting. This discovery not only exposes it, but being angry at the state can lead people toward rejecting it. We also, thankfully, have increasing wealth in the world overall. And despite so much wealth being destroyed by the state, limited by the state, and the state artificially concentrating it into the hands of a privileged few, the poor are better off now than they were before. And the wealthier people get, the less helpless they will feel. And the less helpless people feel, the less likely they will be to submit themselves to an aggressively violent organization which claims to protect them. And this election in 2016 is hilarious. Not only is it ridiculous trying to find someone to vote for, but it looks like there is a chance both the people who win the popular election in the Democratic and Republican primaries won't actually be the people who are chosen to run for president. Not that a Democratic government or a Democratic republic is anything other than evil anyway, but things are all sorts of screwed up even with the way the system is supposed to run or the way people think it is supposed to run. This brings people to a place where they examine the system more critically, and when the system is analyzed with morality in mind, it completely falls apart. The more people turned off by this election, the more people will look for alternatives, and rejecting the state is the only ethical one. And more generally, but ever important to keep in mind. God is bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. This is what Jesus did when he came. He embodied the rule of heaven on earth. And this is what the church, the new body of Jesus, is doing and supposed to do through the Spirit of Jesus. We are the kingdom of heaven here, people declaring Christ as king. And if Jesus is our rightful ruler, then no one else is. Our God is good and faithful, and he is in the process of bringing heaven to earth in full, and he will continue that process until it finally comes. And we can trust that he is bringing his kingdom now. And in his kingdom, Jesus is the emperor, and everyone is a king. And no man or woman rules over another. In this redeemed existence, we are all equals as royalty over the earth. So for those who recognize the evil of the state, I leave you with hope. And finally, for this podcast, thank you. First, thank you to the Academy, and thank you to all the listeners. Thanks to everyone who sent me emails telling me how much you enjoyed the show. Thanks to everyone who sent me suggestions for the show. Thanks again to Kenny for being willing to do a little interview experiment with me and put himself and his knowledge out there. Thanks to everyone who sent me emails criticizing me for advocating for property rights, and for those who criticized me for advocating for defensive force. And thanks to all who argued with me and promoted a state. Really, thank you. I do appreciate having my ideas challenged, and I think that one of the best ways to discover truth and test thinking is to test ideas in conversation. And to all who listened to and enjoyed the show and who never contacted me about anything, thank you so much for listening. I feel so honored that people want to take the time to fill their ears with my words and their brains with my thoughts. And to all seeking the abolition of the state, thank you for doing so. I think you are, at least in this area, some of the moral heroes of our generation. Thanks to Jesus for modeling a life of love and showing me that loving your neighbor often means coming into conflict with the religious authorities. And thanks for sending your Spirit, who is guiding me and us into all truth. Thank you to my wife, who has been very supportive in this process, despite not having the same passion. And thanks to my cats for helping me get better at editing out meows. And most of all, thanks to government. Without you, I never would have even considered exposing your evil to the world via podcast. You're one of the main reasons this whole thing exists, and I couldn't have done it without you. Again, listeners, I appreciate you. Thank you. May your day, week, and life be blessed and full. One last time for this podcast. I love you, brothers and sisters. Grace and peace.